Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Listener calls. I go on a tirade, and the news coming up in the first half. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Warning, got a new phishing scam masquerading as a billing error from Netflix. So what it's doing is it's telling the victims that they need to update their payments 24 hours. Otherwise, their subscription to Netflix is going to be voided. And everyone's so freaked out, they're going to lose their entertainment, that they give them all their information. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info at risk on the internet. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. It's 2020, coming up on 2021. We need to protect our identity. We're online. It's all convenient. We're doing everything, but your info's out there, and you need to protect yourself with the specialist, LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one prevents all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hi, this is Chris Myers. For more than three decades, I've covered some of the biggest events in sports and talked with some of the most fascinating personalities. But now I want to invite you to join me for my new podcast, CMI, The Chris Myers Interview on Podcast One. Covered a lot of events, World Series, Red Sox, White Sox breaking through at their time, the Super Bowl as recently as Mahomes and the Chiefs coming back against the 49ers. I was there to grab Brady after he had that tremendous comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and some tough times, the 89 earthquake World Series that rocked the Bay Bridge, and first to talk to O.J. Simpson live after both of his trials, and on the air through the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombings, informing people as best we could at the time. We'll go in-depth on stories past, present, and future to the effect of the world of sports and everybody in and around it, from current athletes, Hall of Famers, and some people you and I know. Hope you tune in to CMI, The Chris Myers Interview, on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jim Jeffries, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, he wants to be wined, dined, and 69. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
What are you talking about?
I had some thoughts. I was watching TV, but TV commercials the other night, and I started realizing I'm seeing way too many commercials that have to do with, like, extracting fluids and doing things in your body. And now I'll explain. I've seen commercials. There's an ear one where you're, like, shooting stuff into your ear and you're pulling the hardened wax out of your ear.
You're, like, fracking your ear.
You're drilling, yeah.
Yes, you're it's ear fracking. That's right. Let's get Biden in office so we can eliminate ear fracking. So it's like there's the ear frack one. Then there's all the CPAP ones. There's a CPAP cleaner and the CPAP whatever. And you go, a dirty CPAP machine. And you're like, you're eating dinner. You know what I mean? Like, your mind just goes to this weird kind of moss-filled tube that's coming from William Shatner's mouth, you know? So Shatner's doing, like, a CPAP thing. Then I wrote a few of them down to try to think of them. I started also seeing there's a... there's another nose flush one. There's a system where you, like, put it on your nose and it, like, flushes in. It shows the happy woman using it, but it's still kind of disgusting. It's like it's putting the warm water into your nose and circulating it through your sinuses and pulling it out.
Even if relief is achieved, that's still unpleasant.
Yeah, and then I saw, then there's another one.
Is that their tagline?
The other one is a woman's product for nighttime incontinence.
Like, oh, is that an issue?
It is at a certain age.
Okay.
And
Jimmy, you got a long time to worry about that.
Yes.
God bless you.
They have this tube, and one end of it, the business end of the tube, is something one puts in you. And then
catheter.
Next to you is sort of a... Next to the nightstand is a sort of thermos cooler thing with a vacuum pump on it. Yeah, what is that thing called, Max? You can find that thing. It is... Now, I don't know if a catheter technically has to go up your urethra.
There's external catheters, at least for men, that are basically like condoms that you put on with a hose.
Yeah.
So I imagine it's an external catheter.
This has got a little wet, dry vacuum to it. That's kind of what this is for the ladies. And I've been noticing all these weird products that are either sucking stuff out of you or putting stuff back into you. And I don't like it. I'm not a fan. It's intrusive. Have you guys seen these? They run them during the news a lot.
Yes.
Fox runs them and CNN.
Yes.
That's when I started to realize that cable news, their demo has to be old, because Fox News, I always knew, was an old demo. But I've been watching a lot of CNN, and they're running the same spots.
Same thing.
I think the kids are all online now.
Yeah, I can't imagine the demos are that different in age. Like you said, they're all online or MSNBC or something.
I knew you were going to say CNN and Fox, because I watch these every night with closed captioning in the news booth. And the one thing, the only commercial that doesn't necessarily physically suck something out of you or put something in you, but spiritually it does, the Bible app. They both have the Bible app commercial.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. Like, you know, you're watching it. Like, it's a good demo when they're talking about getting out of a timeshare, you know, because that's like a first world problem versus you can lease a television set. That means you're in a different demo. But yeah, I'm trying to think. There's the ear one. There's the nose one. There's the vagine one. And there's the CPAP one, which is the gift that keeps giving, because that's the CPAP machine. That's one commercial. And then the other one is the one that cleans all the CPAP machine. You know what they call it when they clean the sewer system, like in New York system, when they put a big scrubbing bubble in there, like they put a thing in there and they put it in there and it launches down the system to clean it up? That thing's called a pig.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's nice.
I don't know why I know that. All right.
You know what they call the sewer truck that the septic tank that comes to clean up the like porta potty vans?
Oh yeah, honey wagon.
The honey wagon. That's right.
Yeah,
I love that you knew that.
I always liked the honey wagon when it would show up to the job site, because when the honey wagon would show up to my construction site, it had nothing to do with cleaning out of the porta potty, but I would think to myself, there's a guy with a worse job than mine.
Uh-huh.
And
that's
it actually made me feel good for about 5 minutes. And then I also always had this fantasy that, by the way, ladies, if you're listening and you're dating the guy who drives the honey wagon, don't ever cross him. Don't ever cross that guy. That guy, it's like the chick, you know, you don't get into a fight if you're married to a cop. You know, the guy's got a gun on him. Like, don't cross the honey wagon guy, because I just pictured if that guy, you know, if he caught you cheating or anything else, that guy could literally just back that honey wagon up to your vehicle, open the sunroof, put the hose in. And when he was done, he could trowel off the top and put his initials in it with a stick.
Yeah. You'd wish for a horse head in your bed.
What is damage that called? Giving him the business?
That's
don't get
right.
the business from the honey wagon
guy. Do not give the business to the honey wagon guy.
You know what the new German word is for you feeling better that you're not the honey wagon guy?
Oh, yeah.
Schadenfreude.
Oh, wait, sorry, stepped on it. Say it again.
Schadenfreude instead of Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. Yeah, so that guy's got a worse job than all of us, which is good. Also, I imagine, like I said, I think a lot of people thought there was some sort of way that this guy would, like, I think they thought of it like it was like refueling midair, where like you'd back up and have an airlock or something. It is not. The guy got out with boots. He had a long hose and he dropped the hose right into the business end of the toilet. Like that was, there wasn't some airlock or vapor lock in the back that he hooked it onto. He went right into the, right into it. That's it. It came out the same way it went in.
Did it ever, like, you know, like a garden hose gets unhooked and it just starts flailing around? Did that ever happen to that poor guy?
No, but I used to do a bit. A very popular monologue I did was a guy who drove one of those honey wagons, and he was picking up his college-age nephew for, like, his summer job to go out with him. And my character was in love with the job, and but he was grossing out his college-age nephew who was going to spend a summer doing this. And I was just getting into detail about a lot of stuff I found in there, a lot of valuable stuff over the years. You know, I got this wallet out of the hopper, you know, because I have a sieve, you know, and it'll collect the big stuff. And he was like grossing out. I was like, now you turn on that vacuum pump, you're like 240 PSI. If that hose is kinked, you got about 5 seconds. Then you better do a shoulder roll, boy, because I tell you, that hose blew a couple years back and I got a cigarette butt put in me like it was Norplant. He'd just be like going, oh, God. And I was explaining him like the fast-paced, lucrative world of driving the honey wagon. I forgot all about the bit, but the monologue was, the conceit was, the guy was a veteran driver of the honey wagon. He thought it was a cool job because all the free stuff you got that fell into the toilet. And his college, you know, his 19-year-old home from college, you know, lily white, sort of white collar kid who was, you know, pre-med, was absolutely disgusted by this guy's lifestyle. Let's see. Brett from San Diego's got a question. And then so does Robert as well. Let me talk to Brett. Brett?
Adam.
Carolla.
Usman. Okay, I'm on the job site sitting on my lunch pillow eating my sandwich as we speak, calling into you guys, watching the honey wagon guy clean out the porta potty from about 200 yards away, man, right now. I'm not lying to you.
Wow. What kind of construction do you do?
I own my own business, man. I'm an electrical contractor and building a real big cabin out here in eastern kind of San Diego area, a town called Julian.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
And,
like a luxury, yeah. A luxury cabin?
Yeah, custom. I do mainly custom homes, you know, all in here in San Diego, California. And started the company about 5 years ago. So it's been pretty well, except, you know, I'm still sitting on a lunch pill, smelling the, I don't know what you would call that, the shit debris or the shit air that comes with the,
it's weaponized,
you know, when they suck the stuff out.
Weaponized dookie. Hey, Brett, let's be honest. Can I talk about you electricians for a second?
No problem.
Can you guys pick up your shit? When you show up to do your job, you pull out the socket, you pull out the switch, got that little cardboard box with the cellophane on it, you pull it out and you drop it at your feet. Then later on, you pull the wires out, you snip the wires and you strip the wires, and that everything goes on the floor, and then you walk away. I've never worked with a fucking electrician who didn't think he was fucking, wasn't a prima donna, couldn't pick up his own shit. You'd always know when the electrician was there because all the shit they used just lands at their feet. They literally don't throw anything away. Everything, every package, everything comes in, every wire they snip, anything, every zip tie they use when they snip them off, boom. Let gravity take over and let some goomper come in here and clean up after me because I am the vaunted electrician. My poop does not stink. Even I was even complimented by the guy who drives the honey wagon, saying, "You know what? Most of the contractors' shit stinks, but not yours. You're an electrician. As a matter of fact, why are you just leaving your mess inside the house? Why are you even using the porta potty? Why don't you just shit wherever you want? You're an electrician. You gotta go to the bathroom. Why walk across the yard? Why not just take a dump inside the house where you drop all your boxes and your snippets and your stripped wire remnants?" Is this true, Brett?
Hold on, I'm going to talk to my apprentice. Hey, Kevin. Okay. Yes, it is true, man. Oh, man. That was a good one, Ace, man.
Well, it's the goddamn honest truth.
I heard your rant about that on Ace on the House a couple weeks ago. It was cracking me up, man.
Anyone who's been on a job site knows that's what the electricians do. And I think there's an element of electricity is scary and it can really hurt you. And so you have this element of like, we kind of need these guys and I don't want to fuck with them and I don't want to piss them off. Drywallers don't do that. Even plumbers don't do it. Yes.
Ace man, the problem I had with you framers is you fucking guys, when we come to do our can lights and shit, you love to leave your your fire blocking scab 2x4. It shits everywhere. I don't know if you did that back when you were framing, but
it's
kind of a win-win situation. Okay, well, I'm going to leave my shit everywhere because you guys made me break my neck almost, you know, when I'm doing the rough end. So you can't win, you know?
I did the one time I hung drywall, not the one time, but one time I got high on the job site. And getting high on the job site's no good because time slows down and you're super miserable and all you want to do is go home. But I got high on this job site and me and this guy hung drywall in a small office in a house we're remodeling in Silver Lake. And we hung that we went over every can light in that place. Like, we just hung, and then the electrician came in like half hour later. He's like, "Where's my can lights? I don't know where the can lights are." And we're like, "Oh, yeah. I guess we just kind of went over them." And then he was taking his keyhole saw, which is the scariest knife ever, and he was like poking it through the drywall trying to hit his metal can. So I guess I owe the electricians of this country an apology, Brett. I'm sorry for drywalling over your cans, and I'm sorry for my tirade.
Thanks, man. That's awesome. I almost didn't want to ask my question. That was so good.
All right. Go ahead. Ask your question.
Yeah, so yesterday on the show, had the guy who broke his jaw, so I'm 32. I've had my business for about 5 years, and I don't know. I just kind of wanted to get your take. I'm learning more. It seems like in today's, society, if you will, I'm running into more and more of these people that are like that. He, at one point, I think, accused you of, saying something like along the lines of you wanted him to get COVID or, some crap like that. And I just wanted to know if, what are we going to do with these people? And I'm seeing more and more of this behavior, nowadays. Yeah. And, I wanted to get your take on it.
Well, there's a lot of narcissism, and that's why when people go, what about me? What about how this affects me? It all sort of comes back to me. You can hear it when they're complaining. They start off with you, and then they go, you're an asshole. And then they go, I have a niece with Down syndrome, and I have a friend, and and it's like, it's a lot of that. I don't know how we're going to avoid it because it's built into everybody. It's something you try to work out of them as children. And it's also something that probably religion used to keep in check a lot. But religion has kind of gone the way of the dodo. And we start turning kids into, we have Wow Wow Wubsy, who's telling everyone that they're a winner and there's no one else like them. And it's going to be more of that. The good news is, it's hard for those people to succeed because our world requires partnerships, collaboration, sort of being of service to other people. And those people who are very much that way are going to have a difficult time having a lot of success. You're going to have to deal with a lot of those people, but you're not going to have to deal professionally with a lot of those people, because the professionals, when they get into me, they're not that professional anymore. Their business doesn't last. You know, you think of someone like Brian Grazer. You know, when you talk to guys like that, they're like, how can I be of service to this person? How can I help this person achieve what this person wants to do? So, yeah, there's going to be more of those people, Brett, but the more you're not that way, probably the more business you'll have. That's what I would assume.
Are you holding Brian Grazer in contrast to serving to the military, the injured military veteran
yes.
who called in?
Yes, I am.
Are we the show now that shits on disabled military veterans?
No. Is that what you think I'm doing?
No, but his me was I agree with you in principle, but his example was relevant to the discussion yesterday. He's like, I have this, and thus it was the COVID talk. Like, I don't know if that's indicative of, he's a fucking veteran, for God's sake. I don't think he's indicative of most people his age or kids these days. Whoa, whoopsie's been off the air for fucking 10 years.
All right. Sorry. Can we move on?
Well, just as, I don't know if I'm splitting the difference or not, but my thought was, I would imagine why people say, okay, but here's my situation. Of course, it sounds narcissistic, but I don't think that's the goal. I think the goal is to humanize numbers. So when you say something that makes sense, like we have to be okay with this amount of the population, you know, this number perishing or getting sick or whatever. That's numbers. I think what people are doing is going, okay, but let's just make sure we're considering the human behind it. And if we're considering that and the numbers don't change, the numbers don't change. You know what I mean? I don't think people are coming at it in a bitchy way. I think they would just want to put a face to the number.
Well, in defense of Brett and me and whoever else was thinking about this when we were talking about it, no, obviously you're not going to attack veterans. I think what he was saying globally, although he was using this veteran as an example of me, like who's calling in and saying, what about me? Like, that veteran was saying, what about me? And I was looking at globally, not like as a that veteran or veterans in wheelchairs or, you know, handicapped people in general. I'm saying there is a bigger me. There's a what about me question that's prevalent, that the veteran was unfortunately used as an example of what about me. But there is a much larger what about me group out there, and you know that changes society. Like, you got to kind of deal with that. You see it politically, you know, you see it in policy, you see, you know, I believe the reason the schools are all closed in LA's is because of a what about me mentality versus a global good mentality.
I understand. I do agree with you in principle. I sorry I overreacted. Brett, thank you for calling the show. I just found it in very poor taste to use, like you said, the veteran who called in, the disabled veteran, who, as proxy for this other movement. I just found that distasteful.
All right.
I just thought, yeah, thanks, guys. I just thought it was quite ridiculous. He literally, I just got done listening to the podcast an hour and a half ago with my earbuds, and he literally at one point said verbatim, like, you know, you always say you want me to have coronavirus or something along the lines. I just thought it was ridiculous. But thanks, guys.
I also chalk those guys up a little bit to the guys that are at the Santa Monica City Council meeting with a lot of buttons who stand up. Like, it doesn't mean
notes,
they're not
pages of notes.
It doesn't mean they're not veterans. Doesn't mean they didn't serve the country. Doesn't mean they don't deserve respect. But there's an element of that guy particularly had. I think we can all agree on that. Robert, 50, from Virginia.
Hey, Ace man.
What's going on? Hi, guy.
Well, hey, hi to you. So, I just discovered your podcast a while back. I've known of you for years, and it's really interesting. I enjoy it because I was born in 1960, so I grew up in the same time period you grew up in. So, I get all the things when you talk about different things from that time period. So that's enjoyable. I want to compliment you.
Hold on a second. I don't know why, but there's a bit that Andy Griffith did, a comedy stand-up bit where he explains football.
What?
You guys stand-up ever hear bit? That bit?
Is it as good as George Carlin's? Because that's the high watermark right
there.
Oh,
that's right. baseball and football?
Yeah, George Carlin's is brilliant. This is more of a storyteller's version of it, but it's a bit that somehow Robert 50, although Robert should be 60, reminded
I am 60.
Right, reminded me from Virginia. So what were you going to say, Robert, 60 from Virginia?
So I want to compliment you on the job you did at the Snap-on Tools Live at the Forge first.
Oh, yeah, I was in Kenosha, Wisconsin 3 weeks ago. People sort of forget. Snap-on.
Always ahead of the curve.
Yeah, Snap-on is Snap-on Tool Companies in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Yes.
Yeah, I liked your list of ways not to suck at sales.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. I was a little sleep deprived, so I don't have a great memory of it.
That's fine. So
hold on. You have Andy Griffith explaining his stand-up bit, explaining football. Andy Griffith, one of these guys, sort of like the professor from Gilligan's Island, wildly attractive, never really got their due. Like, he was a striking, good-looking
fella,
tall drink of water, but he's kind of Andy Griffith in your mind.
Yeah, and by the time Matlock rolled around, he was shit out of luck.
Right. Like, I'm wondering, like, what would it do? You know how, like, Robert De Niro's now kind of become a dude instead of Robert De Niro?
Sure.
Like, what if Brad Pitt just had his own podcast and was popping up on everyone else's shows and stuff like that? Do you think he would cease to become Brad Pitt or being Brad Pitt? Like, do you think it would take a little, like, part of Brad Pitt is not really knowing a ton about him or not seeing him, you know, constantly blabbing all the time about everything, or even that
mystery,
even that stuff where they go like, oh man, I had a carbuncle on my ass, man, I had to have that thing lanced, boo, what came out of it, boo, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it's best to be that Robert 50, sorry, 60, go ahead.
Okay, so you tweeted out the other day about we must protect our kids,
yes,
and you got two 14-year-old twins, so I was wondering what your thought was. I was thinking, well, what would Adam think about this deal? So SB 145, California lawmakers sent a bill Monday to the desk of Governor Gavin Newsom, Democrat, that would reduce penalties for adults who have oral or anal sex with a willing minor child if the sex offender is within 10 years of age of the victim. Last night, the California State Legislature passed bill, SB 145, and it now goes to Governor Newsom's desk. I just wonder what your take was on that.
You know, my thing, it's kind of tough with this stuff because I've talked to Mark Garagos about this, which is there is sexual offenses that are a 41-year-old had sex with a 7-year-old. And you go, ugh, I mean, that guy's got to be in jail for the rest of his life. And then Mark Garagos has clients that are registered as sex offenders for, like, urinating on their lawn too close to a school. You know what I mean? Or the 19-year-old who had sex with his 17-year-old girlfriend, but they've been together for 5 years or whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know?
We talked about it on the show before. It came up on Real Sports, maybe on HBO. You know, the kid who was 19 or whatever, you know, out of high school, and the girlfriend was 17, like you said. Like, I like that it gives a little leeway to the judge to say, yeah, that's maybe okay, though that's not okay.
Yeah, so it's like, I kind of know it when I see it. It seems weird to just go, that guy is a registered sex offender with the girlfriend that's 14 months younger than him, and the guy who raped the van of special needs kids, he's also a sex offender. Like, I don't need him. I need some distinction. I need some gray area. And it's difficult to sort of put in a bill that says this covers this large group of people because it's so case by case for me. You have Andy Griffith? Oh, sorry. Yes.
You talk about bad optics. Any law that like eases sex offender rules is obviously automatically going to garner a huge wave of, you know, anti-sentiment. But feels, kind of common sense-y.
Well, yeah. I don't know about you guys, but this has been tweeted to me and DM'd to me multiple times in the past few days. And it's like, you know, all Californians are pedophiles, Democrats are pedophiles. So people really talk about optics. It's not great.
Well, we used to be, we're parsing it out now, because we used to be, it's bad optics for a politician to be light on crime or soft on crime. And we used to just go, crime. And now we're going, well, if the poor black woman's been in prison for 12 years for dealing weed, then the optics now are that's good politics to get that person out, right? Mm-hmm. But if the person, so low-level drug offender, good optics for politicians right and left to try to get those people out of prison. So at least we're getting a little more specific with who we're being hard on and who we're not. Yes.
Speaking of being specific about who we're, you know, targeting and whatnot, I'm reading here, maybe Gergis mentioned this. This only applies to minors between the ages of 14 and 17. So, you know, you can't have sex with a 10-year-old or some shit.
Yes. Like that. And that kind of stuff. I as a society goes, I'm not interested in over-policing that world. I would like a universal age of consent, you know, that was just 18 or 16 or whatever it was.
Why are you so interested in a universal age of consent?
Do not pan this camera down, Maxipad. I will sue your ass if you pan this camera down. Keep going. Anyway, they never made sense to me that people 21 for booze over here and 18 for booze over there. That part I'm down with. All right, we have Andy talking about football.
They would run at one another and kick one another and throw one another down and stomp on one another and grind their feet in one another and I don't know what all, and just as fast as one of them would get hurt, they'd tote him off and run another note. Well, they'd done that as long as I sat there. But pretty soon, this boy that had said, ticket, please, he come up to me and he says, friends, you're going to have to leave because it is that you don't have a ticket. And I says, well, all right. And I got up and left. And I don't know, friends, to this day what it was that there's a doing down there, but I have studied about it. And I think that it's some kindly of a contest where they see which bunchful of them men can take that pumpkin and run from one end of that cow pasture to the other without either getting knocked down or stepping in something.
Yeah, it's a kind of a weird conceit because it kind of reminds me of Who's On First in the sense that Who's On First is a legendary bit, but it doesn't make sense because it's like, who's on first and I don't know who's playing second and I forgot to pay you is playing third and there's nobody named that and this is like it's 1950 something and the conceit is this guy's never heard of football,
right?
But he lives
from
in
the South.
He's from the South and he lives in America. Yeah, I mean, he's God, what would he be in the what division would be over there? Not the PAC, but the what's Clemson in those places?
It's all like the SEC.
SEC,
back then it would have been either, the...
Right. And he traveled around and he gave the gospel, but you have a car radio. Like, you have a radio. Like, you would know what college football has been big in this country since, 1881 or something.
Oh, at that time it was much bigger than the NFL.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not saying
Super Bowl for another 10 years.
I'm not saying college versus pro. I'm just saying
the football, idea of football,
the notion of football, Notre Dame and Army versus Navy and those types of schools have been playing each other for, at this point, 60 years, like since Andy Griffith was born. Anyway, find another dead guy. Let me poke holes in his bit.
Okay.
This is called Adam Pokes Holes in Dead Comedian's Bit.
Oh, man.
All right, let me hit Madison Reed and then we'll do some news. Madison Reed, Mister, that is. Madison Reed, they've been around for a while. They make really good products and they have been for women's hair, coloring for women's hair. Lynette loves this stuff. And then at some point, they were like, well, what about the fellas? And that's when they came up with Madison Reed Mister. It's gray blending, natural color for your hair and for your beard. You can see the before and after shots on their website. No shoe polish look here. No, no, my friend. This stuff works. It works nicely. I use it. You don't have to use it that often, just every once in a while. It comes with the gloves, little kit. Pick out the color that matches your hair online. Rub a little dollop of the hair gel in, the color, and just work it through your hair. And then you do the activator, same thing, little dollop, just kind of run it through. Let it run for 10 minutes. Let it sit there for 10 minutes, and then you just rinse it out. Bob's your uncle. And there goes the salt. Hello, pepper. Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Corolla for 10% off, plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news with Gene and Bald right after this.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for another ballsy month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes two Vinnie Tortorich approved and invented ultra fat instant energy packs so you don't reach for that donut. Four shot glass ice molds so you can keep your whiskey cold and straight down the hatch. A bottle of Chateau Spill to remove wine stains or blood from the fine silk you're donning. Of course, a bottle of your choice and the coup de grace, a digital download of the very first basic cable commentary. Roadhouse. This $60 value can be yours for only $25 at CorollaDrinks.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
So much is being made of the cut and color heard around the world after taking heat when a video emerged online of her getting her hair done indoors. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi hit back on Wednesday, claiming she's been set up by the salon and she's the one who's owed an apology. News of Pelosi's indoor appointment was first reported by Fox on Tuesday. With security footage showing her walking around the establishment with her hair wet, not wearing a mask. And that left the owner of the salon to call Pelosi's appointment request a slap in the face. During a news conference with San Francisco Unified School District leaders on Wednesday, Pelosi addressed this controversy, saying that she was set up. She used that word many times. And I think we have a clip.
I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years. Many times, and that when they said, well, we're able to accommodate people one person at a time, and that we can set up that time, I trusted that. As it turns out, it was a setup. So I take responsibility for falling for a setup. And that's all I'm going to say on that.
Yeah, she finished off by saying that the salon owed her an apology. So my take is, first off, it's hard to be set up when you're making the appointment. You know what I mean? But
well, yeah,
I would think, and I'm sure her assistant made an appointment. And I'm sure the people said, so the woman who owned the salon wasn't the person that was doing the session.
No.
She was like rented a chair out.
Right, something. And from another article I read, it said that, I think I'm getting this right, the salon owner, very unhappy with Pelosi and her policies and that sort of thing. So
absolutely.
Motive.
He was very eager to get her inside.
I don't know. It's a she. But she. So the thing is here's how it works. And here's the disconnect or the problem. Nancy Pelosi was doing what everyone I know who's gotten a haircut in the last 6 months has done. They've talked to the person and they've went, hey, can I get a haircut? And the person went, yeah, just come in the side door. Just come after hours. Or just one person at a time. We'll just come in. So what she is engaging in is what everyone has been engaging in for the last several months. The quiet. I've heard the massage version of this. I've heard like the wax version of this. Mm-hmm. I've had the haircut version of this. I've talked to a woman who has a salon who's seeing people in her house. I've talked to Matt DeAndrea, who is one of these guys who just gets his hair cut every 3 weeks, no matter what. It's like that guy's just opening the place to me, but he's keeping it dark inside. People are doing what they're going to do. When you take something and you say, this is illegal now, or we'll prohibit you from doing this. People look at it and then they start weighing their options versus sort of danger. And so if you say to somebody, hey, you can't crawl up on those power lines and hang from the power wire, people go done and done. But when they say you can't do something that that we perceive through our experience as not being inherently dangerous, you know, when we go, there is no, it's kind of why good luck telling people not to smoke pot when booze and cigarettes are legal. You know what I mean? You just, mm-hmm. you can't really get, hey, if we lived in a world where there were no cigarettes and there were no booze, then it's pretty consistent. It's like, you know, the Mormons can do that. No pot, no booze, no coffee,
no caffeine,
nicotine, no cigarettes, no nothing. And okay. You disagree with that and you wouldn't want to live in that world, but at least it's consistent, you know? And so now in California, especially, we have a world where you can fly Southwest, no problemo, but you can't go in and get your hair, your roots dyed or your hair blown out. And so what people do naturally is they go, that doesn't seem that dangerous. I think I'm going to risk getting my roots dyed versus whatever danger is attached to this activity because I'm watching and learning and sort of seeing what people are doing. And if they can go eat outside at a restaurant or they can fly on an airplane or they can go into a Trader Joe's, then why couldn't they do this? And so everyone's making that calculation and that's what everyone is doing. And that's what Nancy Pelosi did. The only difference is with Nancy Pelosi is she's making policy or she's involved with policy telling everyone else not to do it. That's the hypocrisy and that's where it kicks in. She just sent a message to me, which is she doesn't believe it's that dangerous. If she's an 80-year-old woman, if she believed it was dangerous, she wouldn't do it. She was set up in the sense that it was filmed, but she was set up like Marion Barry, which is like, I'm smoking crack in a hotel room with a hooker. This is a setup. Like, it is a setup, but you're still doing it.
You're
still doing it. It's a setup.
It's
fake
cut.
Not that pedophiles are as bad as Pelosi, but what about all those pedophiles that got dragged into that house the other day? Like, this is a setup. Like, it is a setup. Yes, it was a setup.
It's not a setup, like you said, in the sense that she got whacked over the head and woke up with like a new blowout. It was a setup in that she was doing something that she was doing and it got leaked.
Yeah. Somebody said, hey, you want to just come in alone, wear a mask, although she wasn't in the footage, but wear a mask and get your hair blown out. And she went like, yeah, okay. Cause there's nothing inherently dangerous about it.
And I think one of her defenses was, I wasn't wearing a mask. I was washing my hair. Do you wear a mask when you wash your hair? Like, well, no, not when I'm naked in the shower. Maybe if I'm at the salon and I'm pointed up in a sink and a person's breathing down on me. But the way she said it was fantastic.
It's also kind of the problem with all that we're talking about, which is Nancy Pelosi's a big proponent of wearing a mask. Fine. But even Nancy Pelosi can't wear it when she's getting her hair washed or doesn't choose to put it back up when she's walking from the washroom to the blowout room. Like, this notion of like everyone's going to be consistent. I've flown commercially a ton. Everyone has a mask. Some people have it pulled down their chin and their nose is hanging out. Other people are eating with the mask hanging off the side. Like, they're just not, even the people that are down with the mask aren't doing it as consistently as they should be doing it.
And just a footnote to that, now that L.A. County is at 25% capacity, indoor capacity for salons, what Dr. Muntu Davis, their health director guy, says is if you're doing haircuts in the parking lot, by all means, keep doing those in the parking lot. Just take the 25% to do the things you can't do outside. So they say keep doing your outdoor things, and that way, you know, maybe you'll make ends meet. when 25% of your in-shop is open. I also finally got an answer on why they're holding back on nail salons, because that was driving me insane. Mm-hmm. And whether you agree or not, at least I got an answer. They said it's because you're more likely to get cuts, like around your cuticles, and have like essentially an open wound if they nick you.
I was watching this story on CNN today. It was at the very end of the news show. It was with John Berman. I think he was sitting in for...
Yeah, he's sitting in for Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper. And it's funny. It's kind of funny when you know things. So I was like watching it, and they were finishing the story, and it was like last story of the day, Nancy Pelosi. She got busted for blah, blah, blah. And then they were like, she says she was set up, but she, of all people, should have known that it wasn't whatever. And I was like, huh, CNN is busting the chops of Nancy Pelosi. Like, this is a rarity. And then 10 seconds went by, and I'll play it for you, because it just made me laugh.
A questionable decision and new video causing grief for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who swears she was set up. The video shows her inside a hair salon this week in San Francisco. That is apparently against the rules. No indoor visits allowed. She's also seen not wearing a mask in this portion of the video release. Now, her staff insists she did wear one, just not here while getting her hair washed. Now, she offered no proof, and, you know, you would think the House Speaker would know the rules in San Francisco herself. The state's own guidelines say masks should be worn when in public, indoors, and out. So, yes, it is fair to criticize the House Speaker, who should have known better. But it's fair to criticize anyone who breaks the restrictions, guidelines, and just plain common sense we all should live by. The news continues, so I hand it over to Chris for Cuomo Primetime.
Maybe she was listening to the president who said masks are weakness, who's always encouraging people to take off masks, who held his big speech about how to control the pandemic in front of a crowd that was largely without masks. Maybe Pelosi's falling under the influence.
Anyway, she's falling under the influence of the president. I was like, funny, they're going out bashing on Pelosi, but Cuomo cleaned
Cuomo
it up.
Cuomo had to write the ship.
he righted that ship lickety split. But it's funny how your instincts are, because I was like, huh, this is a weird note to go out on. But Cuomo like went, no, we're not. We're getting this fixed quick. All right. Let me tell you about Dodge this summer. Take advantage of the Dodge Power Dollars. Drive home with any 2020 Challenger, Charger, Durango, and save $10 per horsepower. So how does that work? Well, I'll tell you. For example, Charger SRT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower would then get you $4,850 off. You see how that works? The lineup, by the way, includes the most powerful SUV ever made, the 807 horsepower Dodge Challenger SRT Superstock. More than just power, first domestic brand to rank number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year as per J.D. Power, who's the gold standard in this industry. Get to your local Dodge dealer this summer and take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars while it lasts. Never been a better time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle with Dodge and get those Power Dollars going. All right, what else we got, Gina Grad?
Well, speaking of the Brotherhood of Muscle, the biggest man in Hollywood taken down, but ever so briefly, by COVID-19, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has revealed that he and his family all tested positive for coronavirus. He broke that in an 11-minute video on Instagram. The Rock, his wife, their two little girls, I think 2 years old and 4 years old, contracted the virus. They've recovered. He said the girls had some sore throat issues. It sounded like, you know, fever-like symptoms, but they're okay. The Rock and his wife got the brunt of it.
He said scratchy throat, and that was it with
them. For the kids.
He never even said fever-like.
He just said,
all the clip I saw, he just went, they had a scratchy throat. I don't know.
I mean, like sniffles and
shit.
He
was like nothing for them.
Yeah.
And then he said that him and his wife got it, but he didn't really get into detail about what their symptoms were. At least in the snippet I saw.
Oh, you didn't hunker down for all 12 minutes of The Rock talking about it?
I watched the part where he was talking about them.
Yeah, I mean, he said they felt worse than the girls did. The girls were, you know, it was just basically like being sick.
Yeah.
But here's a clip of Johnson giving advice on what to do to stay healthy right now, because he wants us all to be healthy.
That we can all do is just do everything we can to
boost our immune system, antioxidants, taking our vitamins, staying hydrated. It goes back to a philosophy I have, my own two hands. It's we got to control the controllables. And in this case, we can control the controllables, my two-hand philosophy. So the takeaway is be disciplined when it comes to people coming over to your house. Get them tested. You never know. Be extra cautious. Don't let your guard down. Boost your immunity with antioxidants, your vitamins, things of that nature. And if you're already doing that, then great. Keep up the great work. But if you are out there and you're like, well, I'm really going to do it when the new year comes, or I want to do it, I know I should do it, but what should I do? It's really easy. The effort is really minimal. It's just a slight tweak in how you approach things. So
he said, see, this is my thing. He said he did everything and they were super locked down, but then they fucked up and had somebody over.
Family, so, friends that felt horrible.
Yes. Now, my thing is at least in his claim, is they were super disciplined, super locked down, and then they slipped up. Who's going to do better than The Rock? You know what I mean? I mean, in terms of, he's like super disciplined and super locked down. So this is this thing where it's like, we did everything right for a long period of time, and then a couple came over, and then we all got it. And my thing is like, yeah, I don't expect most people to clear that bar. You know what I mean? Who amongst us is going to go, we locked down? When I say locked down, I mean, we didn't leave the house. You know, you go out. You do. You know, my daughter was religious about this thing and then had a slumber party. Like, at some point, this is going to happen. And then they got exposed to it. His daughters, he said he just had a scratchy throat. He didn't get into much with them, but he said it was almost nothing for them. And then he was talking about how difficult it was for him, but he was talking about emotionally, like, I'm here to protect my family and I didn't feel like I protected them, and how difficult it was for him. But he wasn't talking physically about him and his wife. He's just saying, I don't know what words he used, but yeah, like, he wasn't getting into specifics.
Yeah.
But the most challenging, but he was like, he meant like emotionally, I think, like, because he said, yeah, for protecting my family or whatever. So he's in good shape.
He made it.
He tried everything he could do. He still got exposed and he's fine. That's what I'm trying to, that's my argument for this whole thing. He got it. Now he have to kind of, he was kind of mixing his metaphors. He was talking about the most difficult thing he had to do, but he was talking about more about not being a provider or not protecting his family. Oh, where the fuck were all these good dads when I was a kid? You know, I see these guys up there like, my number one job is family. I'm the dad. You know, like when you go to President Obama's Twitter feed, it's like father, husband, a space, president. You know, it's like, what? Where are all these dads? I mean, you hear these interviews, these guys here, it's like, my number one job is to be a father and to be a great. My dad never said that. They never even thought that.
He was consistent.
But none of my friends' dads were thinking about their number one job is to be a fucking father and to be a great provider and to protect, you know. I mean, maybe it's lip service, but where did this commitment come from? I didn't know it growing up.
He's only a few years younger than you, and I think someone can verify this. I don't think he had a great relationship with his dad. His dad might have been in and out of his life for certain
Yeah,
points,
remember?
So.
Yeah, we talked about that, the wrestler. His father was a wrestler.
Right, yeah.
Rocky Johnson or whatever.
But he wasn't an orthodontist? by his upper body, I thought for sure, you know, holding those drills, yeah, and using the cleaning tools. Yeah. Yes, it's the upper body. Yeah, all right. So the moral of the story to me is, get your immune system up if you can, or whatever, wherever it is, it can be higher than it is now. Exercise and diet and food and supplements and all that. And try to make yourself strong in case you're exposed to this virus. All right. What else we got, Gina Grant?
Well, it's a day or two old, but worth talking about because it's quite the cast. The celebrity cast for the upcoming season of Dancing with the Stars has been announced. And we'll just go through and see who you recognize, if you recognize anyone.
What's the over-under out of my names? We'll know.
I saw a couple people fly by TMZ, and I can't remember. You know, a lot of them now are like season five of The Bachelor, yeah. You know, the second runner up.
It always flies in the face of stars when they have to have a long description of who you are.
They put a question mark at the end.
Are they 12? Do you say I have 12?
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
All right.
Maybe an odd number.
I think I can get, I'm going to say 6.
Yep. That's what I was going to say for you.
All right. Go ahead.
I'll say 7.
Here we go.
Here's the cast. Monica Aldama, she's the coach from the show Cheer.
It's a bad sign already.
No. Coach Monica. Mm. Carol Baskin from Tiger King.
Got her, yeah.
Caitlin Bristow from The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Got her, yeah.
Super Bowl champ Vernon Davis.
All right. Yeah,
tight end, right? San Francisco, wasn't he?
Yeah, who did he win a Super Bowl with?
Mm. Ravens? Anyway. Did he go to the Ravens?
He went to the Redskins, Washington football team. But yeah, he played in the Super Bowl with the Niners.
All right.
Actress Anne Heche.
All right.
I know that now, yeah.
Disney Channel actress Skye Jackson.
No.
Nope. Justina Machado, actress.
No.
Okay. Backstreet Boys singer, and that one doesn't count because I just told you it's from the Backstreet Boys, AJ McLean.
I know that now, right.
Host of The Real and sideline correspondent on Holy Moly, Jeannie Mai.
No.
TV and film actor Jesse Metcalf.
Yeah, heard that name. Wait, wasn't he on Desperate Housewives?
Very good. Yeah, okay. I believe he was. Rapper Nelly.
Yeah, right. I've heard of Nelly.
I'm at 7.
TV host Nev Schulman. Do you know what show he's from?
Nev Schulman?
He's the guy from. Go ahead.
Wait.
The catfish guy.
Mm-hmm.
That guy?
Yes.
He's one of these guys whose last name makes it more confusing.
Yeah, I think it's Neve. Or that's what they call him in the documentary.
Oh, it's NEV.
Yes.
Neve, Nev. Mm-hmm. NBA superstar Charles Oakley.
All right.
This ought to be interesting.
What team is he from?
He was an enforcer. I think he was in the Bulls and the Knicks.
I remember him as the Knicks, was more. I seem to recall him.
Chrishell Staus?
Nope.
Selling
Sunset?
Real World?
No, it's a C-H-R-I. Chrishell. Selling Sunset and Johnny Ware.
Right, yeah.
Olympic figure skater.
Oh, he's going to win.
That's what I said. And that's the whole enchilada right there.
Hasn't he been a correspondent for that show?
I don't know.
It's an on-air commentator.
Oh,
all right.
I was commenting on costumes.
I may not be the same. I don't know. Check the online odds, Maxipata, but put the money on Johnny Weir because I had Christy Yamaguchi in my graduating class at Dancing with the Stars, and she was literally better than her partner. I mean, she was. When you saw her do her dance at Dance 3, you would have no idea who the professional was and who the star was.
Makes sense. That's how they train, right? They train on the floor anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you on our fine sponsor, Bet Online, on their odds are up, for, by the way, for Dancing with the Stars. Johnny Weir is the second favorite at four and a half to one.
I'm going to say either AJ from Backstreet Boys or Monica Aldama.
I'm going Vernon Davis.
AJ is the favorite at 4-1. But if you put a couple bucks on both those guys, you're going to make money.
I'm putting money on Weir because...
Nothing for Anne
Heche? I've seen what... Well, you look at, first off, their background. You know what I mean? Like, I've told this joke a bunch of times, but I mean, I was going, Christy Yamaguchi's going to kill all of us. And they're like, no, because she's used to doing it on ice. And I'm like...
She's used to doing a harder version.
That's like saying a guy can ride a unicycle on ice, but let's see him do it on linoleum. Like, I'll bet he could do it. I bet he'd be even better. And by the way, the on ice part, every day, every training session starts with 3 hours in your socks in a dance studio doing the moves off ice. And then you go on the ice, you know what I mean, with your partner.
Right.
Yeah, it was weird. Did he do partner skating, I guess? Must have, or I guess he did.
My advice to the gamblers listening would be cover your ass, do AJ McLean and Johnny Weir. I don't see how you lose.
I think they're giving AJ McLean this kind of higher boost because they go, oh, he was in a boy band and they had to do all that synchronized stuff.
Sure.
But the synchronized stuff was pretty just kind of basic stuff. Now, he does have the mind and he does have the background, but he doesn't have, I'll bet you, that skill. Now, put him on both. Fine. But what did Weir do? Did he do couples? Did he do individual stuff?
He did both single and pair, but he retired in 2013.
Yeah.
So now, he's lost it.
I'll tell you the thing about,
went on tour.
I'll tell you the thing about Weir is his costumes may hinder him.
Mm.
He's so
he muck us over the top.
He's so flamboyant. He might go out there with a huge, you know, showgirls type headdress on or something, and have his partner step on it. You know what I mean? He's not going to be lean and mean. He's going to be all spangled up.
That's he's worked take, with man. Fringe before.
But I am telling you, when you do that show, you practice the whole time, and your partner's wearing sweatpants or leggings or something, and like a tee top or, you know, a tank top, and then you go out there. And they've got all the fringe and the tassels and everything. And they're like spinning around. And your face, it's like you're driving through a car wash.
Oh, wow. You might be right. He looks like Cher dressed him.
Yeah.
Like Bob Mackie dressed him.
We go to the same tailor. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. But it's true. Once you get out there and everyone's all dressed up with all the stuff hanging off of them and they're like spinning and flipping and zipping around and you're trying to get a handle on them and you're getting hit with all this fringe.
How many full dress rehearsals do you do before the performance? Like on that floor in costume?
Does Adam do or does one do?
Did Adam do?
I did 4.5.
No, I mean like, yeah, before each one.
I think you just do the day of maybe because I don't think a lot of the costumes are ready until the very end. They're hand sewing everything. And it is true. When you get out there, and you're wearing this shoe for the first time, or you're wearing or this outfit, or your partner, or you with the Zorro mask on, or something like that. It tends to change things a little
bit. That's crazy. Yeah, because directors, you know, for theater, always say, do not go on stage for a performance with a prop you've never used.
Yeah,
you're signing yourself up for disaster, and you're going out in a full spangly head to toe outfit that you've never put on.
Yeah, tell that to Brandon Lee. All right,
right.
Let me hit True Niagen here. I've been taking cellular health vitamin True Niagen for a few months now, more like half a year, quite easily. You get older, and Dr. Drew's been taking True Niagen for a couple of years now. Get older, your body's experiencing a near 50% decline in NAD, which negatively affects the health of our cells and our bodies. Lifestyle stressors like intense exercise, lack of sleep, overeating, and stress on the immune system also deplete NAD because cells expend more energy to function. Backed by Nobel Prize-winning scientists, clinical research, and global regulatory approval, it is True Niagen. Support cellular energy and defense. Visit TRUNIAGEN.com. Use the code ADAM for $20 off any three-month plus supply through September 4th. So it's coming up there, people. All right, Gina, what do you got? You want to bring it home? You got half a story?
Yeah, let's do half a story. David Blaine, back to his stunts. He just flew through the sky carrying a bunch of balloons, or I'll just say what appears to be a bunch of balloons. The illusionist floated over the Arizona desert on Wednesday by holding on to about 50 helium balloons, according to CNN. It's called Ascension, his latest stunt. It took about an hour from liftoff to landing. It was live on YouTube. And his initial goal was to reach an altitude of about 18,000 feet. He ended up floating to almost 25,000 feet. That's about 4.7 miles before skydiving and parachuting back to the ground.
Didn't that Korean three-year-old kind of scoop him with that whole kite stunt?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, let's see Blaine try that. That was no parachute, no nothing, man.
Being whipped around, yeah.
And no cameras mounted everywhere. She did it for the love of the game.
That's right.
Purist.
That's right.
It's interesting because they were showing him on the ground in this exact position with his knees bent at that exact angle. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't moved from that. So I'm wondering what's so special, what's important about that exact angle his legs are bent at. You know how they're, you know, like when you're doing a floating illusion.
I'm kind of picturing that. It's just the one that works probably best and best for him. And probably the one he probably trained in that position. Yeah. Again, I'm a veteran of Dancing with the Stars. I've been hit with spangles. I can tell you how vigorous it is during the training and how you must be consistent. So he's up there. He has a parachute on him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He parachutes down.
Right. So parachute on you nullifies it a little bit because what makes this hairy is potentially falling to your death. Now, how does he control the balloons? Does he have like a BB gun or a way to like, you know, if he's getting too much altitude or caught in a jet stream or something like that, can he pop a couple balloons and start coming down a little bit?
That's what CNN said. He was supposed to go to 18,000 feet, but he went to 25,000 feet. So
interesting.
You think someone like that, you know, like David Copperfield, like they have complete control over these types of things. But, you know, how do you mess with the wind? I really don't know.
And the real question or another question is I draw a distinction between literally just hanging on to a rope with the balloons and then having some sort of hand strap, harnessy, whatever thing that did it. Because if you're just physically... That young Korean girl, no harness, no parachute, no rigging, safety meetings, no engineering, no computer,
no insurance.
No computer simulations.
In that last shot, his arm was down, like he was fully being held by the harness.
Yeah, like he's rigged through the back of his, you know, jacket.
Yeah, I don't think
whatever.
He was holding on.
To me, if you want to go full balls out, Harry. Like in my world, like Travis Pastrana doing a backflip, building top to building top, right? No harness, no safety wire. That's just balls out nuts, right? Travis Pastrana jumping out of a plane with no parachute on, right? That's balls out, right? So the most balls out you could be was grabbing the balloons with your hand and then sailing. Mm-hmm. With no parachute.
Devil may care.
That's the craziest thing ever. Now, with parachute and kind of with harness, it's still ballsy and crazy. It's just, it tamps it down a little bit. Yes.
Well, and like, that's like, who was the gentleman, which Melinda was it that was on
Nick
the show
Walenda.
Recently?
Nick Walenda.
Nick, thank you, Walenda. When he said, you know, he was harnessed. In a way, like he was not harnessed, but he had strappings, you know, that the network made him do. And he said, like, it kind of ruins your street cred because that would not have saved me. But like, you know, security theater, it makes the network feel better. But he's like, there would have been no way to retrieve me had I just been dangling from that thing.
Yes.
Over, so it's double not fair to him.
Over a volcano. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Jim Jeffries is coming up. Next, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, Australian comedian, all-around good guy, Jim Jeffries, is going to be in the second half of the show. And so we'll take a quick break and come back with Jim Jeffries right after this.